At this time, I'm going to read Nancy's obituary as it appeared in the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle. Born in Rochester, Nancy lived her life serving others. She was a graduate of the Columbia School, Mount Holyoke College, and Western Reserve University, where she earned her Master of Social Work. She began her professional career in Boston and later moved to Brooklyn, running an agency for disadvantaged children. In 1958, she married Roger, and after several moves, they settled in Penfield to be near family and raise their four children. Nancy was a fun, energetic, and loving mother who always encouraged her children's interests. She led Campfire Girls, Girl Scouts, and 4-H troops, sewed costumes for Halloween and musicals, stayed up late to help with school projects, tucked special notes in lunch boxes, and so much more. She returned to the profession she loved once her children were in school, working as a geriatric social worker for St. John's Home and Reformation Lutheran Church. She served in leadership positions on numerous boards, including St. John's Home, Fairport Baptist Homes, and Medical Motor Service. Throughout her life, she was a passionate volunteer and an active member of many organizations, including the Century Club, Meals on Wheels, Hakorioth Book Club, Camp Joy, RMSC Women's Council, and PEO, to which she belonged since 1952. She was a faithful and devoted member of First Baptist Church of Penfield for 50 years. During that time, she was involved in all areas of the church, teaching Sunday school, working at pancake breakfasts and chicken barbecues, serving on boards and committees, and caring for her church community. A lifelong learner, Nancy was an avid reader and took a variety of classes such as car repair, cake decorating, and gemology. She took great pleasure in the arts, visiting galleries and frequently attending concerts and operas with Roger. She was a talented watercolor artist. Nancy loved spending time outdoors with Roger, caring for their beautiful gardens. Ever active, she and Roger took Tai Chi and spinning classes, rode their bikes, and walked around town. Nancy loved to travel with Roger, particularly for family vacations and to see their grandchildren. Nancy's steadfast commitment to her family and friends will be deeply missed. That is one of the nicer obituaries that I've ever seen. It covered a lot of ground, didn't it? But even then, I always think the tragedy of the obituaries that appear in the paper is that they miss an entire life, a 93-year life. They miss so many aspects and dimensions of each person that walks this earth. And so I think it's very important, crucial, to our mourning process that we remember Nancy as fully as we can. And so at this time, I'm drawing upon family and all of you friends and family who are gathered here today to, as we pass around an open mic, to share your remembrances, ways that she touched your life, ways that she helped you here today. First, I'd like to start with her children, if they would come up.
Mom was a consummate letter writer. Long before email, and well after email became ubiquitous, I could still count on a letter to arrive in my mailbox almost every other week. And what letters they were, filled with daily comings and goings of life, her garden, her friends, her activities, but also witty observations and poignant memories, all in her distinctive handwriting. She never failed to mention something that we did together or something that reminded her of me. And it wasn't only what was written that was special. Inside, she'd include recipes, a New Yorker cartoon, a copy of How to Fold a Fitted Sheet from Marie Kondo's book on tidying up, a flyer from her new washer and dryer, or an old photo from a special time together. These were fat envelopes filled with a joyousness of life and a deep desire to remain connected. One of her favorite authors, E.M. Forster, said, "Only connect." And that was a motto that Mom lived by each and every day. Her connections with family and friends were personal and meaningful. They were long-lasting and significant. She remembered birthdays, children's names, and favorite cookies. She remembered important events and small moments. She connected with longtime friends and those she had just met, ever curious about their lives, their backgrounds, and their activities. Recently, when she was first admitted to the hospital, she was being questioned by doctors and intake nurses about her condition. It wasn't long, however, before the tables were turned and Mom learned about their families, their jobs, and their Rochester connections. Only connect. Mom connected enthusiastically to organizations both large and small that were important to her as well. Most notably her church, MPEO, a women's educational philanthropy, of which she was an active member for 52 years, but also others that allowed her to expand her interests, ballroom dancing, or support her children and community, 4-H or Girl Scouts. She didn't shy away from leadership roles, nor did she neglect the importance of just showing up, of being there when called on, or jumping in without being asked. I was always intrigued and delighted by Mom's curiosity. A book on Lewis and Clark caught her eye after a Team Z trip to Montana, leading her down a rabbit's hole of discovery, from travel journals to the historian Stephen Ambrose. She read widely, and trips to the library resulted in legendary hauls, from picture books on Madeleine Albright's pins to short stories by Alice Munro, a treatise on salt, to the biography of tightrope walker Philip Petit. She'd pick up flyers from everything and everywhere, parks and zoos, museums and galleries, and they'd hang around for months, accumulating dust on her desk, reminding her of her connection to the wider world and the abundance of what was out there. Deeply compassionate, Mom lived her life caring for and about other people. Her professional career as a social worker provided a gateway to challenging work, first with children and underserved communities, and then the geriatric population, ever honest about their struggles and thoughtful about their needs. Her personal connections with family and friends were a gift to all those that knew her. She was intensely grateful for these connections, and they enriched her life tremendously. But she enriched our lives even more. And for that, she will be deeply missed.
My mom and I share a great love of gardening. If you've ever been to Mom and Dad's home, you'll know that while the gardens in front of their house are beautiful, it is the gardens in the backyard, the part hidden from view, that is truly spectacular. In May and June, it's ablaze with color from rhododendrons and azaleas, some of them planted back in the early 70s when we first moved to Penfield. The peony bed blooms next, and then through the summer and fall, there are hydrangeas, clematis, and numerous annuals that put on a show. Just like that backyard garden, Mom never found it important to put herself front and center. She was a rare person who did not seek recognition. She did not discuss her accomplishments or talk about her numerous good deeds. Mom always put others first, and her kindness and care for others happened tirelessly and quietly out of view. While my mother had a deep knowledge of plants, she rarely approached gardening scientifically or methodically. When we shopped the local nurseries together, Mom chose flowers that caught her eye, confident she could find just the right spot for them at home. Mom selected plants just as she did everything else, straight from her heart. To my mother an ordinary marigold was no less valuable than an extraordinary peony. A prickly and demanding rosebush was as cherished as a carefree hosta. There was even an area in Mom's garden she called the nursery. That's where she put the plants that were not doing well or needed a little extra care. Just like in Mom's garden, in Mom's life, everyone was welcome and there was a place for everyone. There was no judgment or expectation, just warmth and acceptance. This was particularly true with her six grandchildren, each of whom she deeply treasured and who gave her tremendous joy. She delighted in their varied interests, their unique styles, and their individual personalities, and she always made each of them feel special and loved. The grandchildren blossomed when they were with Grandma. Finally, what made gardening wholly fulfilling for Mom was that time spent in the garden was time spent with Dad. When I stop by my parents' home during the gardening months, I typically go straight to the backyard because I know I will find them both there. Dad may be pruning or weeding, and Mom may be watering or planting, but they are each doing their part to keep their gardens meticulously maintained. Yesterday was my parents' 61st wedding anniversary. Throughout those years, side by side, they have cultivated both a magnificent garden and a rich and meaningful life. They have been the truest of partners. Together they raised 4 children, established deep friendships, nurtured their community, and devoted their lives to one another. It was a true blessing to us all that Mom's final days were spent at home with Dad and a view of their backyard garden.
So I'd like to start out with a story, a favorite story of mine about my mom. My mom liked to chew gum. And sometimes she did it secretly and sometimes not. One day back in the 1970s, she was driving to a board meeting at Medical Motor Service, and she was chewing gum. And that gum kind of finished, and she, like so many people back then, rolled down the window. She tossed that into the wind. Well, she made her way to the board meeting, and she was there, and she got a coffee, and she met her friends. She knew all the board. She was saying hello and good morning. And after a few minutes, the director came over, who she knew, another friend of hers, said, "My Nancy, that is the most interesting brooch you are wearing." And she looked down, and sure enough, there was her gum on her lapel. And I think that story captures my mom in a lot of ways. She was pretty funny. She was lighthearted, and she was a little bit wacky in ways. But what's really telling me about that story is is that even though it was really embarrassing, my mom told us that story. We didn't learn about that elsewhere. It was my mom who told us. She could have packed that story away in this vault of embarrassing stories that we all have, but she didn't. She brought it out so we could enjoy it, so we could share it with us and with our kids and with you. And I think that was really one of the, just one time out of the hundreds or the thousands of times that my mom really demonstrated that there really wasn't a situation that you couldn't laugh at, you couldn't smile at, or you couldn't really enjoy or find some way to enjoy. And I'm not sure my mom was always the funniest person in the room or really always the wittiest person in the room. That really wasn't quite who she was, but she was the person who always let you know that there was room for that. There's room to be funny and there's room to do that. And I think that it was really true, especially in difficult situations, like even in the last days of her life, even the last days when we were around her bedside, she could honestly barely move and barely talk. We would joke, and sometimes we'd say something funny that made us laugh, and she would always look, and she might smile or breathe or something, but you knew she was there and that she got it. And she was giving us permission to feel that humor, even in that sort of dark time. I think maybe for that reason or other reasons, I always thought of my mom as an optimist, and so I expected today to stand up here and say, tell you how what an optimist she was. But when I was thinking it through, I kind of realized I don't think my mom is an optimist at all. My mom, I don't ever remember my mom saying something like, boy, this is going to really lead to great things, or I'm so sorry, it'll be better tomorrow. What my mom really communicated, or what she, maybe it was more about how you felt when you were with my mom, was that it was good today, like now. Not tomorrow or next week, or not when this is over, but right now it was good. And then it was just a great day, every day. And sometimes that's easy. If I was young, I'd share a proud accomplishment. That's easy. You'd already feel like it's a great day out. But sometimes things weren't always going swell, like it's morning and you got up and you had a favorite piece of pizza from last night that you were going to eat for breakfast and somebody already ate it. it's still a great day, even with that, right? Or it's Thanksgiving and you burn the turkey. And even then, it's a great day, right? And or even when you get a phone call and you learn your mom went into surgery or she had a stroke, even then, it's a great day. And my mom really showed us that you can look past those immediate worries, even in the moment, and see that there are positives and there are things that are always good to find within those times. So, and for tomorrow will also be a great day, right? Today is a great day, but tomorrow will be a great day also. And it might not look the same. You might be in a different place or with different people or with someone missing, but it will be a really great day. So I say thanks, Mom, for a really great day, a lifetime of great days. Thank you.
Soft skin, tough fight. This is Ode to the Fun Mom, mini but mighty. Mom, don't trip, don't fall, don't slip away. How can the church ladies pull this off without you today? Each one of us here has dreaded this day. One petite person, you've left us so much to say. How did you, Mom, at less than 5 feet two, channel such energy to just do, do, and do? We've been blessed as your story goes back a long way. Nonetheless, we're all thinking, I'd like one more day. Mom, you were so very unique, so special, so kind. All around here today, your loving touches we find. Each NGZ season was filled with a glow. Right up to 93, you were all systems go. Your life was dedicated to curiosity and learning. Got your master's, globetrotted, and never stopped yearning to experience each new person, place, or thing. You helped, taught, inspired. You gave life its zing. From a young age, friends told me, you've got the good mom. Undeniably, your humor, attitude, blue eyes were the bomb. You supported exchange students, teams, and projects, braved homework and all that fun night before stress. Never questioned my choices of college, spouse, or country, allowed me to speak freely, truthfully, bluntly. You shared, animated, expressed, your heart so open and free. When I drove you bananas, you'd say, oh, that's just Lee. Top-notch tolerance, you rolled with the punches. Pioneer, you had your own friends, you had your own hunches. Thank you, Mom, for your example of happiness and fun. You left no stone unturned, no bike wheel unspun. Excuse me. Such small feet, you left such big shoes to fill. Not one day in Nancy life was run of the mill. Even lately, off balance, you were still so coy. Caregivers only just met you, but still felt your joy. Joie de vivre, hefty, complaints few. In your honor, we'll share stories, laughs, and who knew? Your geodes will still sparkle with depth and dimension. We'll take care of Dad, your greatest intention. Mom, we promise to love, laugh, and be snappy. I hope it's great in heaven that you're busy but happy. Passionate, upbeat, amazing, strong mom. Today is quite tough. I'll try on your aplomb. You love us. You're here. We don't doubt it. We know. And through us, may your lovely self now show. Amen.
At this time, the usher will be going around with a microphone, and those who would like to say something, feel free. Just raise your hand good and high so they know that you want to speak.
So, as you all know, Nancy, my grandmother, was an incredibly dedicated social worker and philanthropist for her community. She did this work through organizations such as this very church, Camp Joy, and so many more. However, she didn't let this be the only circle in which she practiced this sense of caring. As one of the two sets of cousins, the other two being Chloe and Sophia down there that are on the West Coast, it could be easy to feel a little disconnected and distant from my grandparents living pretty much the entire continent away. However, my grandma was so incredibly good at staying in touch. As my own mom said earlier, we could always expect letters, packages, and caring gifts in the mail on any occasion. After one brief spat of an obsession with pancakes, I received a bottle of maple syrup from one of her travels in the mail. That was very touching. Oftentimes, my mom said her letters needed a little bit of deciphering, but they were always filled to the brim with stories about her life and questions about mine. So although I was unable to spend as much time face-to-face with my grandmother as I would have liked, her communications and letters showed me that the value of staying involved and in touch. Thank you.
Well, I'll do a segue onto the flapjacks. I helped Roger and Nancy do flapjack Saturdays once a month during the season. And first time I was there, I'm cooking on a gas stove, which I'm not familiar with four burners heating up a large grill. And I'm having a little bit of difficulty keeping them consistent. Some are too light, some are too dark, some are burnt, some are going into recycle, we know that. Who would come up to me with the plate but Nancy? Oh, I want one of those dark ones. Now, I never figured out if she was liking dark ones or she was helping me out to get my nerves under control. But every other time I was on the grill, she would show up with a plate. I want one of the dark ones. So I'll have to check with Roger later to see if she really eat dark ones or she's just being good. Thank you.
So I'm sure you've all heard the expression about remember the little things in life. And I think that's how I'm going to remember my grandmother. I'm Evelyn, by the way. I'm one of the middle grandchildren, and I live locally. So I had the privilege of being able to see Grandma quite a bit. And just some little things I'll always remember about Grandma. The cousins know she made the best applesauce, and she had the secret ingredient that she wouldn't tell us until we were, I guess she thought, worthy. And one day she used to set us fell down to the basement when she put the secret ingredient in, and one day she forgot, and my cousin Frisia and I were still in the kitchen, and the secret ingredient, I think you can all know, is cinnamon hearts. So another thing she did, whenever she fed my horse Daisy an apple, she would always comment on how she loved the crunching noise of Daisy chewing. So that was just another memory I'll hold on to. Yeah, just a couple things I wanted to say.
I knew Nancy when she was on the board of Medical Motor Service, but I didn't meet her when she was wearing that jewelry. she was a very inspirational person. I never thought of her as being small in stature because she rose to the top of our organization as president and led us for many years. And I think what she brought was her compassion and her understanding of the needs of people in the community. And maybe now I know, because she took a course in auto repair, that might have been one of her motivations. But she probably didn't talk about a lot about her work at Medical Motor Service, but she contributed a great deal to what we did at the time, and we're grateful for that.
I'm Chloe. My grandma was one of those special people that makes an impact on everybody that they meet. I've never had anybody in my life as caring and empathetic and stylish as she was. And, you know, I think we all aspire to have her closet. We were just recently looking through at our most recent reunion. Me and the cousins were looking through some of the photo albums that my grandparents have in their basement, and yeah, she was looking fly in every single one of them. So I just wanted to take a second to appreciate that. Thank you.
I know Nancy through the PEO, and I was a member of that chapter for several years, maybe 3 or 4 years. So Nancy, when her oldest daughter, when one of her daughters said she made connections, she certainly did with me, because I have a ministry. I'm a lay chaplain at the Ontario County Jail. I work with the women. And when they are released from jail, many of them are homeless. So a friend of mine and her husband bought a home right here in Rochester, and we needed to furnish it. So sure enough, Nancy collected, almost everything we needed, from toiletries to appliances, and she even wanted to carry them into the house. She went with me to the house. And she was just a concerned, loving, kind, gentle. It was an honor to know her.
I've known Nancy as a member of this church for many, many years, and comfort and joy to all the Zanglines. Comfort in your loss and joy in celebrating your mom's life and who she was and her impact on all of us. A couple of my favorite memories. First, she and my mom were very good friends, and I told my mom about Nancy's passing, and she said something that was so very true. She said, she was a fine lady and a very good friend. And I wanted to share that. My son, Scott, helped mow the Zanglines' yard for years, and even went back to college 2 weeks ago and finished up for the summer. But I always found it amazing how many times when he was finishing up with the lawn, Nancy would be taking warm, fresh cookies out of the oven. And he always appreciated that. And personally, with Nancy, I can't even count how many projects we've worked on together and how much I really loved her. She cared about the little things in your life, and she cared about the big things, and she could emphasize. She's one of the few people I know who could get excited about Talbot's end of the season clearance sale with me. And noticed that I put a new scarf together with something and really appreciated it. And I also have a very fond memory of Nancy that kind of summarizes a lot of the thing, you know, part of her attitude, just her can-do attitude. And even at 88, we were working on a painting project together here in the church, and Nancy would show up day in, day out, pour up the paints, and like just be willing to do whatever needed to be done. And one of her comments was, you know, I'll paint anything, just I don't do ladders anymore. So just the fondest memories, and thank you, Zhang Lines, for sharing your Nancy with us.
Hi, I went to this church growing up, and along with my three siblings and my parents, and there's so many memories, but just two pop out. One is a camping trip. Picture two women, eight kids, a screen tent, a Dodge pop-up camper, and a bear that decided to visit our campsite. You never saw two women move quicker than that. And then the other one is fast forward to when my dad was in a nursing home and in a wheelchair. We got a wheelchair van for the weekend for Thanksgiving, and we were tooling around in it, and I said, hey, let's go see the Z's. So we stopped in the driveway, and she and Roger came out, and they oohed and aahed over Dad's new car, quote, in quotes. So just her giggle is the main thing that I keep hearing in my head. She'd laugh at anything Roger said or anything that happened that was funny. She was a joy.
Hi, I'm here with my friend Deanne Levy, and we both knew Nancy professionally in the 80s when she worked on the home health care team. I was a nurse, and Deanne ran the office, and we worked in some rough neighborhoods in Rochester, and when I was scared to go into the neighborhoods by myself, it would be Nancy that would accompany me, and I would be there in my nurse's uniform, and she would be there in her designer clothes in the So the two of us would, you know, be of help to people, but I just always remember, I always felt like I was the least best-dressed person when I was in Nancy's company. To me, she exemplified low-key courage in the places she visited and the work she did.
I loved working with Nancy on the home health care team, and we would share a lot of personal stories, and she would tell me about her kids, and my kids were a little bit younger, but I remember Lee going off to be a nanny in France, and my daughter was going off to New York to be an actress and singer. And we laughed because I don't know how to swim, and she swam every morning before she came to work at 8 o'clock, and even swam before she came to team meeting at 7:30 in the morning. And she did talk about medical motor service and her Meals on Wheels, and a wonderful sister-in-law that was ill that she was supportive of, and her dog Annie. And I remember all those wonderful things about Nancy. And I felt she was a really good friend and very supportive to me when I first came on the home health care team. And it was a difficult group of patients that we had. They were living in difficult places and they had difficult lives, but she always came back telling me about them and was very supportive of them. And she will be missed by everyone in all the different communities, I'm sure.
Nancy always made people feel comfortable. I remember when I came to the church and she asked me what my name was. And I said, it's Ray Gibb. And she said, oh, my name is Gibbs. And we agreed between the two of us that one of the families made a mistake. So Roger and I may be related by marriage.
I'm going to talk about a story I have with Grandma and Grandpa. So it was another weekend in Rochester, and there was nothing much to do. So Grandpa comes up to me, and he's like, hey, do you want to do a spinning class with me and Grandma? I would say I'm a pretty athletic kid. I love sports. But first thing I got there, Grandpa's getting ready. He's prepping himself with water. Grandma's just stretching out. She's preparing. And I'm just looking around. Like, I'm seeing people like 30 years older than me. I'm like, all right, I got this in the bag. Like, this is pretty easy. It wasn't 5 minutes in to where I was sweating and I couldn't feel my legs. I look over to my left, Grandpa is still pushing through it and just motoring through it. Like, oh my, he is insane on the bike. I look to my right, Grandma is just kicking it also. And then it makes me feel like the most lazy person in the world. The class ends and I get off the bike and like barely able to walk. I'm talking about like my knees are giving out every 20 seconds. And I see Grandpa like, oh, how was the class? You enjoy it? And I'm certainly just smiling at him like, yeah, it was really fun, Grandpa. Thank you for showing me this. And so from that day, I learned on that Grandpa and Grandma are not to be messed with, and they are very strong. Another thing is Grandma was always supportive, whatever you did, whatever like you were interested in, even if it was like super weird. Will here was really into heavy metal, like weird music, and Grandma would always ask about it, always just bring it up just to start conversation. She was always there for all of us, and no matter what we did, no matter what we stood for, she was just always there. And I think to this day, I really learned that Grandma really cared about each and every person and how they stood by her and everything like that. So just want to say that.
Well, I'm the luckiest person alive. I knew Nancy longer than any of you here, I think. And I don't like to admit that because that tells you something about me. But Tristan, I tried spinning. I couldn't walk after it either. And I looked at my sister and my brother-in-law and thought, I can't keep up with them, even though I'm younger, sister. I look at all your happy faces here, and they reflect Nancy. And I thank you for being here, and I thank you for being such good friends of my sister.
I'm Carl Gibbs, and I'm the brother of this wonderful person. And some things pop to mind right away, always. First thing is Mrs. Simpson. Mrs. Simpson was the principal of Columbia School. And the two girls would come home from school, go to the third floor, and have big discussions about how wretched Mrs. Simpson was. And that was good. But my sisters and I both had two very good teachers growing up, and I want to remember my mom and dad because they were terrific guides for us. And Nancy was always good to me. I was not a good boy, and I got into trouble a lot, and Nancy would bail me out. And she really did bail me out, and I'm indebted to her for all of that. And so I come from a good family, that's all I can say.
Good morning. My name is Jose Santana, and I'm one of the spinning buddies for Nancy and Roger. Okay, that's how I got to know them. The first speaker with the daughter, she said that she made the connection. She did it with me. The first time I came that I met him was I had this T-shirt on that said, put the social worker on the case, because I was a social worker. And so she connected with me quick. After the cycle class, she introduced herself. We talked about history and that. And that's when, you know, I get to know Roger. We talk a lot about music. I burned a lot of CDs for them and for Nancy, which they are still enjoying. And I hope Roger continues to enjoy them. I do want to say something. You know, I wasn't surprised to read that obituary. I didn't know her past, but when I saw that, that's Nancy. I mean, what an example for all of us. The type of connection she did with her involvement. And I hope it impresses everyone in the way that she lived her life and we could follow her steps as we continue to live as human beings. Thank you.
I'll make this quick. Pastor's getting ready.
It's fine. Take your time.
After having the privilege of working with Nancy for over 20 years in the parish as our social worker, I also had the privilege of being with some of the family around her bedside on a Friday before she died. And our poet laureate, Lee, did one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen in my decades of ministry. Her mom had a tear in her eye. Lee came with a napkin, and she said to me, "This is so we can catch one of Mom's last tears." And it occurred to me that's what Nancy was really all about. Whether sorrows or joys, as you've just heard here, Nancy caught our tears. She did catch our tears.
Thank you. And I want to thank all of you for your remembrances today. I think that it helps us to remember her as she is. And that's something I need to say. I need to always correct myself. In my belief system, I don't talk about Nancy in the past tense. In my belief system, Nancy has entered eternal life, and so Nancy is not a was. Nancy is an is. She still is a person. She still is a being. She still has her life because she has eternal life. Her life here on earth has ended. It began in pretty good circumstances. She was the daughter of a prominent doctor, Dr. Charles Gibbs, who was at Strong Memorial Hospital. Dr. Gibbs helped to isolate insulin. And the endocrinology library at University of Rochester Medical Center still bears his name. So she was well-educated, brought up in a good home, as was said. She knew some people. One day, Roger and Nancy shared with me that they used to play cards with Margaret Woodbury Strong, the Margaret Woodbury Strong. And they didn't talk about like that was an unusual thing. Doesn't everybody play cards with Margaret Woodbury Strong? But they, with all of this background, with all of these things that there were to boast about, perhaps, she's the least likely to brag that I know. At one point, she entered this church as a newcomer, and that's not always an easy thing to do. Yes, she was a 50-year member here, but I can rattle off the names of half a dozen people that are more than 50-year members in this church. And so she was the new person, and yet somehow, by the end of the 50 years, she had so connected, as was shared, with everyone in this church, so well connected that she had, if you drew a sociogram of this church, she would be front and center. She'd be in the middle of the church. Everyone connected to Nancy. I mean, who died that we are having this memorial service for today? Was it the mayor of Rochester that the church is so full? Was it the richest person you ever met? Who died that this congregation has gathered here, filling up the church so we had to put chairs in the aisles? It wasn't any of those prominent things. It was just somebody who connected with you and loved you and shared that. Was she tall, big stature? She was 5'2" on a good day. And yes, she was elegantly dressed right up to the end. She is an amazing woman. See, I have to correct myself all the time. Nancy still is. One day, I'm gonna share a story in church. Nancy served for many years on our missions board. She was the missions board for many of those years. And a new member to the board got up to make an announcement for missions, Ellen Stokes. And she, the first thing she had to say before she said her announcement was, "I really feel like Nancy should be doing this." She was very well connected. Very much belonged. She came from that high social standing, but she just was not one to put on airs. She started helping, as Jesus wants us to, the least of these. She started ministering to the poor, the broken, the downtrodden. She wanted to help those who need help the most. And I can say personally, on a personal level, she had a very good quality of listening. We had some real struggles in my family last year. My daughter was in a hospital for 5 weeks out in Philadelphia, and Nancy was always asking me about my problems, always asking what could be done, and just most of all, providing a listening ear. And I appreciate that. And I did sense hope from her. I sensed hope that things would be better, but that she didn't minimize the problems we were going through. It's an amazing talent that she had. You know, she married well, too, I want to say. I am a Christian pastor. I do not believe in reincarnation, but if there is anything to it, I told Roger I'd like to come back as one of his things because they are always well cared for. He takes care of everything. Have you been to his house? He and Nancy keep a beautiful house. It's a wonderful place to be. And Roger shared with me, you know, that the more he got to know Nancy, the more good he could find as he went along. You know, I think that most of us, as we marry each other, we find out all the bad stuff, and it gets kind of worse and worse the further we go. Just being honest. I'm sure that's what my wife would tell you about me. But that's not what I'm finding out about Roger and Nancy. They were soulmates, and the more they knew each other, the more they loved each other. And it was just so evident as they walked this neighborhood. Have you driven down 441 and seen them walking hand in hand on the sidewalk down the street? They were a regular sight. You could spot them anywhere in the evenings walking together. How do you get to be so good? Where does all this come from? Is it her upbringing from the nice family she was raised in? Is it just genetics? Her good nature that came from that? Or was there a work in progress that she was always working on? You know, I see in the handwritten inscription that is in the funeral, the memorial bulletin that we printed today. This is Nancy's unique handwriting. Unique, but still legible. What we are, God gives us. What we become, we give to God. And one gets the sense from that she was a work in progress. Even Nancy didn't start out perfect, didn't start out great. Nancy had to work on herself, becoming God's gift to all of us here today. It's a work in progress. And as I prayed with her in her final days, I would always mention the grace that is ours in Christ Jesus, because I believe that even the most exemplary person is still a sinner, still in need of grace. It is tremendously hard for me to find out what Nancy's sins are. I have not learned any of them. Roger may be able to help me there, but he's not talking. But I don't know. I don't know what her sins were, but I know that there are. You don't either, Roger. Well, she took them to the grave with her, perhaps. Scriptures say that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no righteous, no, not one. And so God knows. But God forgives. God provides grace through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the sins of the world. And that grace was something that she was extending to all of us here, and that's why we're here today. She was listening to you. She was not judging you. She was affirming you. She was welcoming you. She was just an example of Christian love to the world, and I am grateful to God for giving her that gift, however it comes about, whether it's from being from a great family or just having good genes, or if it comes from the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or all of the above mixed together in a wonderful small package that served many. Who wants to step up to the plate and be next? Who wants to be what she is? I still believe it's possible. You know, we're going to need a new center in our church in the sociogram. We're going to need someone who is that well-connected and that well-loved. Would that be you in this wonderful way that this happens, this wonderful alchemy that makes people into servants of God? I'm going to do something that I always do when I hear that siren, if you don't mind. I'm not going to pretend it didn't happen. Lord, whatever that call is for, whoever is affected right now, I pray for your comfort. I pray for those who respond that they will be able to have safety and that everything will work out for the good. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you as you mourn. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And it's my prayer as you go on that God will make good on that wonderful promise.